I'm pulling in my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for the drive to work. Okay, so in my ongoing quest to talk about every single expansion, I'm now up to New Phyrexia, which was the third set in the original Mirrodin... Oh, no, it's in the original Scars of Mirrodin, not the original. The Scars of Mirrodin block. Okay, so a quick recap, just to talk about how we got to New Phyrexia. So originally, the fall set, Scars of Mirrodin, was supposed to be New Phyrexia. The idea was we were just going to show up in New Phyrexia, and then at the end of the set, realize, oh my goodness, this was formerly Mirrodin. I really had a hard time trying to understand how, like, that was three different sets, and I really struggled with it. And eventually, I came to realize that New Phyrexia shouldn't be the first set, it should be the last set. And I pitched this idea to Bill and said, what if we come back to Mirrodin, so return to Mirrodin, but we now realize the Phyrexians are here, which we know from the past. They're Magic's first villain back in Antiquities. And then in the second set, we have a giant war that the set is like half and half, and that it's a pre-release. You could choose your side. And then the final set would be the outcome of that war, New Phyrexia. And then Bill made one proposal. Bill said, well, what if we don't tell the players the outcome? What if we actually pitch the set as one of two sets? That it could either be Mirrodin Pure, which means Mirrodin wins the war, or it can be New Phyrexia, which means Phyrexia wins the war. Now, it was always going to be New Phyrexia. There was no way for us to, like, we had to make the set. But the idea was we didn't have to tell the audience, and we could keep some suspense. So we did not announce the actual name of the set until a couple weeks before the set came out. I mean, obviously, once previews started, but just a smidgen before previews. So the idea, meaning stores actually order the product not knowing the name of the product. You're ordering either this or that. It's going to be one of those two things. And we told people pretty late. Although, as we'll get into, this set got leaked. Somebody in the French office had access and didn't realize. And anyway, the whole set got leaked before it came out, which was not ideal. Okay, anyway, so this was codename Action. So the block was Lights, Camera, Action. Scars of Mirrodin was Lights. What was the middle set before New Phyrexia? Was Dark... not Dark Steel. That's the... was that right? No, it's not Dark Steel. It's Scars of Mirrodin... Oh, Mirrodin Besieged. It was Mirrodin Besieged, then New Phyrexia. So Mirrodin Besieged was Camera, and then New Phyrexia was Action. So it came out on May 13th, 2011... had 175 cards, 60 common, 60 uncommons, 35 rares, 10 mythic rares, and 10 lands. The lead designer was Ken Nagel. The design team was Dave Guskin, Joe Huber, Matt Place, and myself. And the development team is led by Aaron Forsyth, with Dave Guskin, Zach Hill, Tom Lapilli, and Eric Lauer. Jeremy Jarvis did the art direction. So a lot of what this set did was it carried over things from the first set, but there was an evolution. If you remember, when in Scars of Mirrodin, or maybe you don't remember, maybe you didn't play, Scars of Mirrodin, the Phyrexians were about 10% of the set. And the reason you knew that is we had a Phyrexian watermark. We had a Mirrodin watermark and a Phyrexian watermark. So the first set, good night to me. In the first set, only 10% of the cards had a watermark of the Phyrexians. About 90% had Mirrodin, though there were a few cards that didn't have a watermark. But in the second set, it was 50-50. And I think in the third set, it was like 80-20. It was set up so that if you took the whole block and you chopped them in half, you know, you looked at it, it was roughly half and half. But the last set, New Phyrexia, 175 cards, is a little bigger. Normally our small sets were like 143. So this was a little bit bigger than a normal small set at the time. So it was between 80 and 90% Phyrexian. All the mechanics that had been introduced earlier in the block, most mechanics, I should say, Imprint, Living Weapon, Infect, Proliferate, and Metalcraft all showed up. Imprint, Living Weapon, Infect, and Proliferate were all Phyrexian mechanics. Living Weapon had shown up in Mirrodin Besieged. The rest had showed up in Scars of Mirrodin. Metalcraft was sort of the Mirrodin mechanic, although it definitely showed up here. The idea is the Phyrexians kind of take you over when they get you, so they started absorbing Metalcraft to a certain extent. Now, the new thing in the set, the one big new thing was Phyrexian mana. Phyrexian mana was mana that was colored but had a little Phyrexian symbol in it. And what that meant is you had to either pay that colored mana or you had to pay 2 life. So originally, I think when it was originally pitched, so Ken Nagel, for most of the design, was trying to make a mechanic he called Link. And the way Linked worked was any 2 creatures that had Link, when a creature entered, if it had Link, it could link to another creature with Link, and then it became sort of a combined version of the creature. You would add together all the power and toughness, you would add together all their abilities, and it would become a larger composite creature. And then I think if it died, you just lost one of the Link creatures, not the whole creature. And so basically, I made a card in original Unglued called called BFM, which was this 99/99 creature that was so big it had to be on 2 cards. And you had to have both the left and the right side to cast it. It cost 15 black mana. Ken was very enamored with that, and he was trying to find a way to do that, although he was trying to find a system where it wasn't always the same left and the same right. Ken would ultimately find the solution he wanted in Eldritch Moon with Meld. So Ken did eventually find a version of Link. Not exactly what he was doing here. Meld is specific pairs. The closer to what he was trying to do with Link, I did do somewhat with Host and Augment in Unstable, where there are left sides and right sides, sort of. Host, Augment, the hosts are creatures and augments are kind of like enchantments. But it did allow you to mix and match. And we played around with this area. The actual trying to do Link is pretty hard, at least the way that Ken wanted to do it. But anyway, I think he actually handed off the file to Aaron with Link. And then the rules people were like, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. And so Aaron then had to come up with a new mechanic. I think Aaron first pitched Phyrexian mana as colorless, and then I convinced him to make it colored, ironically. The carer of the color pie, ironically. I thought it being colored just gave you more sort of more freedom to do different kinds of things. My original pitch for Phyrexian mana was that we costed them like artifacts, meaning we costed them as if knowing you weren't going to pay the colored mana, and we only did things that artifacts would do, and we followed the rules of colorless artifacts. That is not how they did it. Development really added a lot of color things there, so there is a lot of color pie breaking, only because there's things, you get access to things that you're not supposed to have easy access to, in colors you're not supposed to have easy access, and it's not priced. Because you're paying life, it gets very cheap, mana-wise. Anyway, Phyrexian mana is very powerful. Showed up in a lot of play. Has some problems. It's both a play balance problem and a color pie issue. The set also had Splicer Golems. Splicer Golems were creatures that made 3/3 golems and then usually granted an ability to the golems, but to all golems. So each splicer would make 1 golem, but then enhance all the golems you've made so you could play them together. The other big thing about this set was it had color artifacts. So a little tiny story here before we get into me talking about some cards from the set. In Future Sight, which was the 3rd set in the Time Spiral block, I was trying to hint at some things to come. One of the things I hint at, there's a card called Sarcomite Mirror, which is a Phyrexianized mirror. Now, maybe you didn't realize that from looking at the picture, but that's what it was. And I was trying to hint, because when we first visited Mirrodin, we knew the Phyrexians were there. In fact, if you read the book, one of the first things in the book is the bad guy in the book, like, sees some oil and it goes into his skin. Like, the idea that the Phyrexians were there, we were pretty subtle about it, but we clearly was planted in original Mirrodin. And the idea was always you would come back and see the Mirrodins. Originally, they would have already have taken it over. We later decided to come back and watch them take it over. But the Phyrexians' return was always baked into Mirrodin. So, in Future Sight, I was trying to give a subtle nod to that. And when I was hinting at colored artifacts, because Sarcomite Mirror is the first colored artifact, I was hinting at that's where we were going to see it. But then, in between us returning to Mirrodin, we ended up going to Alara for Shards of Alara. And I was in charge of the Esper mini team. And the Esper team was all about creatures who enhance themselves through Ethereum and artificial means. And it just made so much sense to start using colored artifacts in Esper. So we did. Which meant that when we got to New Phyrexia, it was a little bit challenging. But what we ended up doing was we made use of Phyrexian mana. Like, we did do things that were artifacts, but they were usually... they were artifacts because Phyrexians had kind of taken them over. And so we found things like Phyrexian mana as a way to show when the artifactness of it was showing the Phyrexian sort of taking over something that was inherently mirrored in. Okay, so let's get into talking about some of the cards from the set. And I can discuss some elements of the set as we get into it. Beast Within. 2 and a green. Instant. Destroy target permanent. Its controller gets a 3-3 beast. So it's interesting. This is, I think, the most played card in Commander in New Phyrexia. And it hits a what I'll call a theme of New Phyrexia, which is messing with the color pie. That is a color pie break. Green is not supposed to just be able to kill any creature on an empty board. That one of green's weaknesses is supposed to be it needs to use creatures to kill creatures. And the idea that I can just get rid of what... And this card also gets rid of whatever. It's not even just target permanent. And the idea that I can turn into a creature, yeah, I'm giving you something, but it gives green just way... Green should not be this good at getting rid of everything. And giving someone a 3-3 creature just isn't nearly enough to even offset it. A, green shouldn't do it. Green's not the biggest of giving you offsets. White's more about... So this card, we remade this card in white. It's more of a white card than it is a green card. White's not supposed to be great at pinpoint land destruction, but it's just so not the right thing to be doing with this card that we decided it was okay in white, but anyway, it's a bend. Okay, next, Phyrexian Metamorph. So it's 3 and a blue Phyrexian mana, so 4 mana total, one of which is blue Phyrexian. It's an artifact creature shapeshifter and enters as the copy of any creature or artifact. So it's a clone. Again, the problem is blue can do that. Other cards can't do that. And maybe we can make an artifact that did it, but the artifact that did it would cost more. This card basically costs 3 and 2 life. And for that, anybody can play it. So it is, again, a little theme we'll see here at some of the top cards. A lot of the top cards in the set are just giving colors access to things they're not supposed to have access to, which inherently is a problem. There's a lot of cool stuff here. I mean, a lot of what we played around with was trying to get the essence of the Phyrexian. We definitely did a lot more paying life and stuff. That, I don't mind bleeding into other colors. Obviously, black is king of paying life. But it's a resource, and all colors should have some access to a resource. And in a world in which it's all about life payments as a big theme, okay, I can, that one doesn't bug me as much. I mean, we shouldn't do a lot of places. Okay, next, Mental Misstep. This is costs a single blue Phyrexian mana. It's an instant and a counterspell with a mana value of exactly 1. And again, this is allowing anybody in any color for 2 life, not even any mana, to counter a spell that costs 1. That is not something that should be... I mean, we tend not even to put counterspells in colorless, right? It's not even like we let you counterspell but make it really expensive. We don't even normally do counterspells in colorless. So this is way, way, way out of line. Okay, next, Dispatch. White, instant. Tap target creature, unless you have Metalcraft, which means you have 3 or more artifacts on the battlefield. You control 3 or more artifacts on the battlefield. And then you exile the creature instead. So it sort of turns into kind of like a Swords. Although Swords, it doesn't even cost you life. Or, sorry, doesn't give your opponent life. Now this one actually is in... I mean, it's a good card, but it is in color pie. Some of these early ones are like, I'm not sure whether this color is supposed to be doing this in this regard. Okay, next, Gitaxian Probe. So that costs a single blue Phyrexian mana. It's a sorcery. Look at Tiger Player's hand and draw a card. Yeah, we do not do look at Tiger's player hand a lot anymore. We do it when like it's a discard or something, so because you have to select. But in general, we found hidden information makes the game more fun. Just letting you know it's your opponent's hand just adds a lot of mental tax to the game because now I'm trying to track what's going on and remember what they have. And it just you have less surprise. one of the neat things is you don't quite know what's going on. You don't have full information. And neat moments could happen. But when you sort of learn that ahead of time, like, you're obligated not to act, you know, and you feel dumb if you forgot what was in your hand. So, anyway, we don't do a lot of those effects anymore. This one being Frexy Mana, I mean, blue is the color supposed to be looking hand, a black hand secondarily, but I'm less worried about the color piedness of this. More, it's, I don't think it's a particularly fun card. Okay, next, Unwinding Clock. It's an artifact that costs 4, and it says you untap all artifacts you control during each other's untap step. So the idea here is that my artifacts untap. This is particularly good in formats with artifact mana, Moxes being the like in vintage and stuff. But anyway, it just it allows you to keep reusing your artifacts. So in a deck with a lot of artifact resources, especially mana artifact mana sources, this can be quite powerful, especially when played against. Especially when you build around it. Okay, next, Noxus Reveal. This is a green Phyrexian mana, so green or 2 life, instant. Put target card in any graveyard on top of its owner's library. The weird way this card got used in a lot of cases, I mean, sometimes you use it to put your own thing on top of your library. Like, sometimes you use it as a means to get back a card you want to get back. Other times, it has been used as card denial, meaning I give my opponent something they don't care about, a land or something that somehow got in the graveyard that's insignificant. And then instead of them drawing a new card, they get to draw that card instead. Okay, next, Pure Steel Paladin. This costs 2 white mana, white. It's a 2/2 human knight creature. So whenever an equipment enters the battlefield under your control, you draw a card, and equipment with Metalcraft, equipment you control costs 0 to equip. Now remember, this is in an equipment deck. Equipment are artifacts. So, yeah, you know, you have to get a couple of them out before they start costing 0. But the idea is just start getting out equipment. And then once you get to 3 equipment, now you can start, you know, clicking them all on for free. So it's really a equipment build around, but pretty powerful. It both draws you new cards and it makes it easy to use your equipment. A pretty popular card. Okay, now we get to Shieldred, Whispering One. 5 black, legendary creature, Praetor, 6/6. So one of the things we did, the Praetors were the leaders of the Phyrexians. This is the first time the Praetors show up. They were created for this set. So Shieldred and Elish Norn and the likes, this is where they premiered. So one of the challenges of doing Phyrexia, new Phyrexia, was old Phyrexia was very black-centered. That all the Phyrexians, if you go back to Antiquities, for example, all the Phyrexian references are on black cards. And the problem is, okay, well, we got to go a little broader than that if we're going to do a set about Phyrexians. So in order to get a full set of Phyrexians in all the colors, we ended up making 5 Praetors. And the idea is each Praetor exemplifies the Phyrexian viewpoint from that color. And the leader, ironically, wasn't black, was white. Elish Norn ends up being the leader. She's the most organized one, being white. But anyway, it allowed us to take the Phyrexians and start spreading their influence and sort of show in a cool way how they can expand and adopt. And so in Mirrodin, they sort of start spreading and you start seeing them in all different colors. So Shieldred Whispering One has Swamp Walk. So all the Praetors have Swamp Walk. And then they have 2 abilities. One that helps you and a mirrored ability that hurts the opponent. Shieldred's is, beginning of upkeep, animate a creature. Take a creature card in your graveyard and put it onto the battlefield. And beginning of opponent's upkeep, they have to sacrifice a creature. They have to creature take from the battlefield and put it to the graveyard. So in your turn, creature goes from graveyard to battlefield. On your opponent's turn, creature goes from battlefield to graveyard. That's the opposite. I actually designed I pitched the idea of mirrored stuff on them. We'll get to Elish Norn in a second. I actually designed Elish Norn. I think I designed most of these. I think I designed Shieldred as well. They might have been tweaked a little bit after I designed them, but it was my pitch of the idea of they represent this color, and then they have a mirrored effect that's positive for you and negative for them, but a mirrored effect. Elish Norn, Grand Cenobite, was 5 white. So all of them are 5 2-colored mana, so 7 mana total. Legendary Creature, Praetor, 4/7. Vigilance, all of them have an evergreen keyword. All other creatures you control get +2/+2. All creatures you don't control get -2/-2. This is another one of us. New Phyrexia definitely was pushing some boundaries. White does not traditionally... White can destroy other creatures. It does not traditionally give them -2/-2. Now, white does do mass creature removal, so this is a bend and not a break. But it's a pretty big bend. White does not traditionally do this. But one of the things we were trying to do in New Phyrexia is get kind of this Phyrexian feel. And part of that was sort of... And I understand that this feel is probably what later in development got us to push color pie stuff a little more than we should. We definitely were being a little more aggressive with feel and doing bends a little more than normal. Like I said, I think we got some actual breaks, which we shouldn't do. I'm okay with bends, but... The one of the things we were trying to do with New Phyrexia is just feel like things have been off. The Phyrexians are sort of messing with things on a core level. And so a lot of doing things that were not traditionally what the color did, we thought was a cool feel, as long as we're not breaking things. Okay, next is Caged Sun. It's an artifact that costs 6. As you enter, you choose a color. Then creatures you control of that color get +1/+1. And lands that produce that color produce an extra of that color. So for those that do not know, I've talked about this before, one of my all-time favorite cards from the early days before I came to Wizards was Gauntlet of Might. Gauntlet of Might was in Alpha. I think it cost 4, I think. And all your red creatures got +1/+1. All your mountains tapped for an extra red. And I made a lot of decks with that. I liked it so much that in Judgment, I made Mirari's Wake, which was just made all your creatures +1/+1 and all your lands tap for extra mana. So we were back in Mirrodin, we were doing artifacts. I thought it'd be fun to sort of, what if we could do a Gauntlet of Might that was customizable? You could choose. Obviously, we made it a little bit more expensive because you can choose is pretty powerful, and Gauntlet of Might is a powerful card. But anyway, so now everybody has an access to their own Gauntlet of Might. Okay, next, Tezzeret's Gamble. 3 and a blue Phyrexian mana symbol. It's a sorcery. Draw 2 cards, then proliferate. So this was kind of fun. One of the things we did as the block evolved is there are certain things, like Infect in the first set was just in black and green in Scars of Mirrodin. And Proliferate, I think, was just in blue and green. And then as the block elapsed, more colors started getting Infect. More colors started getting proliferate. The idea is that as the Phyrexians gained ground, you saw the Phyrexian abilities sort of expand with time. And I thought that was pretty cool. The other thing that was kind of neat with proliferate, well, poison was a means by which you could defeat your opponent. There were 2 basic poison strategies. One was an aggro poison strategy. It was mostly green or black-green, where you're just attacking with lots of creatures. But there was another strategy, more of a control strategy, where you just got to get 1 or 2 poison on your opponent, and then it's not that you're attacking with creatures so much as you're proliferating them to death. So it's a slower controlling. And this card goes great in that kind of deck. Okay, next, Spellkite. Spellkite is an artifact creature that costs 2. It's an artifact creature whore, 0/4. And for blue or Phyrexian mana, you can change the target of any spell to Spellkite. I mean, this is the kind of thing where this one bugs me a little bit less from a color pie. We would make artifact creatures probably that do this to a certain extent, although this one's a little bit cheaper. And if you're stopping kill spells, okay, then it kills Spellkite, right? It's more that I can mess with you like giant growthing and stuff. That's a little, not quite. This card is more to like prevent you from. I choose what of mine you interact with rather than. I keep you from interacting with your own things. Okay, next, Mind Crank. It's an artifact. When an opponent loses life, they also mill that many cards. The interesting thing about this is usually they have more cards than they have life. But with other mill strategies, it can help you mill them out. We're like, well, I'm damaging you, but the damage you use is also accomplishing some amount of milling. But without excess milling, other cards that mill, Mindcrank itself won't kill them before. They'll die to damage before they die to decking. Dismember. 1, black Frexian symbol, black Frexian symbol. So 3 mana total, 2 which are black Frexian symbols. They're instant. Target creature gets -5/-5 to end of turn. This is another example of where I think this actually falls into pure break. We, for 1 mana and 4 life, we don't want every color to mostly kill. I mean, it can't kill big things, but it's a little bit too more universal of killing things in a way that we like. Green, for example, should really struggle a bit with killing, especially on an empty board. Like green kills creatures by using its own creature. So it can handle them if it has enough creatures on play. But if green doesn't have any creatures, it shouldn't be able to get rid of them. And with this card, it can. And green is good at gaining life. So the paying life isn't that big a deal. So anyway. Next, Suture Priest. Suture Priest is 1 and a white. So 2 mana total, 1 of which is white. 1/1 is a cleric, it's a creature. Whenever another creature you control enters, you gain 1 life. Whenever another creature enters under the opponent's control, they lose 1 life. So this is another... We were trying to... we did the Praetors, which were mirrored, and we did a few other spells. This one, once again, white doesn't directly make players lose life. It's a little bit of a stretch. White can do some damage, but this isn't quite in what white does. White can gain life, but white doing damage... This would be better maybe as a black card, maybe... But anyway, it's a popular card. Okay, Triumph of the Horde. So this is 2 green-green. It's a sorcery. Until end of turn, creatures you control get +1/+1, trample, and infect. So infect was our main means of poison. We connected the poisons to the Phyrexian. So poison had been an early magic. I loved it. We phased it out, much to my chagrin. And this was me bringing it back in a big way, sort of tying it to the Phyrexians. One of the things that's cool about Infect is that it ties to damage. So granting things Infect. The idea of this deck is I'm kind of just swarming you, and then out of the blue, if I can do 10 Infect damage to you, I win. Even if you have 0 poison already. So this card can do that. Now, it also can be used in an Infect deck. It wants to be in a deck that is not just Infect creatures, I guess, because you're granting Infect. So it's more of a... I sort of make a swarm strategy and have a secondary chance of being able to take you out with Infect. Okay, Birthing Pod. 3 and a green Phyrexian mana, so 4 mana total, 1 of which is a green Phyrexian mana. It's an artifact. For 1 green Phyrexian mana, tap, you get a sack a creature, and then you get to go in your library and get a creature that can be up to 1 mana value higher than the creature you sacrificed, and you get to put it on the battlefield. And this was a very powerful card. I think it might have gotten banned in a few places. But it's a very powerful card and allows you, there was a card, what was the card called? Hell's Caretaker, where you sacrifice a creature to reanimate a creature that I always liked. And this is us playing around with the idea of going and get access to a creature. I think Joe Huber made this card, is my memory. But anyway, proved to be quite powerful. Sword of War and Peace. This is an artifact that costs 3. It's an equipment, obviously. And the equipped creature gets +2/+2 and protection from red and white. And then when it deals damage to the opponent, you do damage to that player equal to the number of cards in your hand, and you gain that much life. So there were 2 swords. The first sword, there were 2 swords back in original Mirrodin. And we didn't intend for them to be a cycle, but we made 2 of them, and 2 dots make a line, and so there's been a lot of pressure to make more of them. So this is us making another one. The original one, it was original Mirrodin? There was a white-black light and shadow, and there was a blue-red fire and ice. But anyway, this is us doing the red and white one. But the swords were super popular. We later did ally color ones. And there's a formula to them. They have the same mana cost and equip cost. They always give you +2/+2 plus protection from the 2 colors they care about. And then we deal combat damage. When equipped creature deals combat damage, it does 2 effects based on the 2 different colors. Okay, so the final card we're going to discuss today. I'm at work, but I can't leave without talking one of my all-time favorites, Karn Liberated. Costs 7. He's a planeswalker with a loyalty of 6, starting loyalty. For -4, Tiger player exiles a card from their hand. Or sorry, +4, Tiger player exiles a card from their hand. For -3, you exile a permanent on the battlefield. And for for -14, you restart the game, but you leave everything in exile that's a non-aura permanent exiled by Karn. And then all those items, regardless of whose they were originally, start on your side of the battlefield under your control. So this is the start the game over card. We have a bunch of games. I did a whole podcast on sub games. That's where you sort of stop the game and go play this other game, but then you come back to the main game. This is not a sub game in the sense that you don't come back, but it is starting the game over. It's one of the few cards that actually erases poison, because when you start the game over, poison goes away. There's really not a lot of ways to get rid of poison. This is sort of ending the game and starting a new game, so it's ending the game that maybe you had poison on you. Anyway, this card, I have a soft spot for Karn. One of the things, he's one of the characters I created with Michael Ryan when we made the Weatherlight Saga. And it's one of the few characters from the Weatherlight Saga that's still around. I mean, Squee's still around, Multani's still around, there's a few. But anyway, I have a soft spot for Karn. They did not know whether or not Karn gets infected by the Phyrexians. So the reason that Phyrexian in the first place is why the Phyrexians are able to take over is Karn accidentally, when he was brought in Phyrexian oil when he was building Mirrodin. He gets infected. The Phyrexians make him the father of machines. And the big question was he going to break free of their control or not? If not, he was going to be a Phyrexian creature in the set. If he was, he'd be a planeswalker. And ends up breaking free, becomes a planeswalker. And Karn becomes very, if you follow the storyline, Karn is very obsessed with trying to stop the Phyrexians. It's been an ongoing problem for him, and he's very personally connected to it. So that becomes one of the ongoing storylines that break free of this, is Karn's desire to stop the Phyrexians. He does play a big role later on in helping to stop the Phyrexians. They're trapped right now, so I'm sure they're taken care of. Nothing ever will happen with them. That, my friends, is New Phyrexia. It definitely was a bold set. In retrospect, it did a few things I wasn't happy with because I like the color pie. But it did do a lot of cool stuff, made a lot of neat cards. It is a long list of cards that are very impactful in tournaments and still see play today. And it was the big capper. I mean, one of the goals of the whole block was we wanted to reintroduce the Phyrexians as a major new villain. So having them show up in when we were on original Mirrodin, it broke magic. It was so powerful. So to have Phyrexians come to this powerful world and take it over really showed that the Phyrexians were a force to be reckoned with. But they also were trapped on Mirrodin. And so that's where we left it. It's like, well, they're a big villain, but the one Achilles heel is they can't get off the plane. Obviously, those that know the future know one day they will. And that becomes a big storyline. But anyway, guys, that is New Phyrexia. I hope you enjoyed the jaunt through the set. But I am now at work, so we all know what that means. It means the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. I'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.